One who is enlightened in self-realization, although living within the material body, sees himself as transcendental to the body, just as one who has risen from a dream gives up identification with the dream body. A foolish person, however, although not identical with his material body, but transcendental to it, thinks himself to be situated in the body, just as one who is dreaming sees himself as situated in an imaginary body.
Purport. In Lord Krishna's discussion of the different characteristics of liberated and conditioned souls, the Lord first clarified the distinction between the eternally liberated personality of Godhead and the marginal potency, the innumerable jivas, who are sometimes conditioned and sometimes liberated. In this and the next nine verses, the Lord describes the different symptoms of liberated and conditioned jiva souls. In a dream, one sees oneself in an imaginary body, but upon waking, one gives up all identification with that body. Similarly, one who has awakened to Krishna consciousness no longer identifies with the gross or subtle material bodies, nor does he become affected by the happiness and distress of material life. On the other hand, a foolish person, Kumati, does not awaken from the dream of material existence and is afflicted with innumerable problems due to false identification with the gross and subtle material bodies. One should become situated in one's eternal spiritual identity, Nitya Swarup, relieved of his false material identity. By properly identifying oneself as the eternal servant of Krishna, one becomes relieved of his false material identity, and therefore the miseries of illusory existence immediately cease, just as the anxiety of a troublesome dream ceases as soon as one awakens to his normal, pleasant surroundings. It should be understood, however, that the analogy of awakening from a dream can never be applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is never an illusion. The Lord is eternally awake and enlightened in his own unique category called Vishnu Tattva. Such knowledge is easily understood by one who is vivan, or enlightened in Krishna consciousness.
Dehastopi, Dehasto, Vidvan Svapna Yatoktitaha, Adehastopi, Dehasta, Kumati Svapna Drikyata. This is the most essential understanding for making progress in self-realization, is to be able to distinguish the material body from the self. Because without that, as long as one identifies himself to be this body, material body, then he will be forced to act for sense gratification. It's nothing. In other words, if he thinks he's the body, then naturally he'll try to act like a body, or act to please the senses of the body. For example, if someone thinks that he is a male body, then he will feel attractions for female bodies, and vice versa. In every species, this is what happens. And the living entities inside animal bodies and fish bodies, they don't have the apparatus to be able to analyze themselves as being different from the body. But the human does. Atato brahma jigyasa. The human is therefore advised in the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra, that now that you have reached the human form of life, it is time to inquire about the spiritual nature. That's actually the purpose of human life. You wouldn't know that by what we're being taught in the West and most of the East, because they're being taught that your life here is meant for gratifying your senses. Try to get as much pleasure as you can, temporary pleasure for your senses. But according to Lord Krishna and the Vedas and great saintly persons, you're supposed to give up the prayer or the immediate pleasure of the senses for the Shreya, or the ultimate. After all, if one could achieve self-realization, then we learn that by that achievement, one is freed from all suffering forever, permanently. He achieves the spiritual abode, padam padam, and he doesn't have to take birth again in the material world, and there's no suffering there. There's nothing. The suffering that we're experiencing here is because of having a material body. After all, what is our number one suffering? Death. And if there's no death, if the soul doesn't die, that's one big problem we don't have to worry about. And another big problem that we're worrying about is old age. But if there's no material body, if it's a spiritual body, we don't have to worry about old age. Same thing with disease and rebirth. Those are the big problems. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha nirdarshana. This is a symptom of one who has transcendental knowledge. He understands the four real problems. The real problem is not that, you know, pay less taxes or something. The real problems are these, if he can get free from these. And every soul is eternal by nature. This is a misconception that if you accept a certain savior, then you will get eternal life. Eternal life is already invested in every living entity. What we could say, though, is if you become self-realized, then your eternal life will be uninterrupted by the troublesome birth and death and taking on of material bodies. You'll have eternal life in the spiritual world. But eternal life, everyone will have, whether they're surrendered to the spiritual nature or they're wrapped in material consciousness, they'll have eternal life. But an eternal life of misery, of birth and death, samsara, that is not desirable. So every intelligent person should think, let me undergo a little bit of temporary austerity for achieving the greatest gain. The greatest gain is eternal pleasure in the spiritual world. This lifetime is quite short, 100 years maximum. It's not so long in comparison to eternity. If one uses this short lifetime for practicing self-realization or achieving self-realization, just consider the gain. And that's why it's such a great opportunity. Manusham durlabham janma. Human form of life is very rare, and in the human form of life, one gets the opportunity to associate with Guru and Krishna. Then, can solve all the problems once and for all. We have to give up this conception of being this body. It's like a dream. If one wants to hold on to his dreams, you can imagine someone, he wakes up and he stubbornly, no, I don't want to give up. I was dreaming, I was having such a good time, and he goes around telling everyone, I was dreaming and I was doing this and I was doing that. People think, you know, this person is mad. He can't wake up. He's just stuck in his dream and he's trying to live out that dream. says, no, I was a billionaire in the dream. I was the richest man in the world, and all the beautiful women were attracted to me. And everyone says, will you stop dreaming and wake up, you know, and pump the gas, otherwise you're going to be fired soon. No, but I was a billionaire, I didn't need to pump gas. Well, if you don't pump the gas, you're going to be fired. So, this idea of dreaming, I'm this body, we can't seem to wake up from it. It's so hard. Therefore, we need to hear again and again. Someone may say, well, shouldn't we be more advanced that we don't have to hear that we're not this body? Can't we go on to the higher subjects like Rasa Lila and my Swarup and Nitya Swarup, things like that? Yes, those are waiting for us. There are higher topics, there are higher things to contemplate and to relish than just that I'm not this body, but it seems that we're having a hard time getting out of this conception of, otherwise, if that weren't the case, we wouldn't have any lusty desires. If someone says, I'm free from all lusty desires, if he's actually free, then that's a good qualification for going into higher levels. But it's difficult for us to get free from this. And what is the process? Well, the process is the same in both cases, whether one is in the preliminary stage, then the process is Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga. And even if one is in a more advanced stage, still, he'll perform bhakti yoga devotional service with higher consciousness. Just like the gopis, who are the highest level of devotees, they're also chanting the glories of the Lord. They're also preparing garlands, making garlands for the deities. They're also dancing for the pleasure of the Lord. They're cooking for the Lord. So the same things are going on in the spiritual world that we're engaged in here in this world. That's why it's a perfect process. It's not that we engage in something now and then when we become liberated, then we do nothing. Or we just merge. But we're engaged in devotional activities to please Krishna now, and then when one becomes liberated, goes back to the spiritual, he'll be engaged in activities to please Krishna. And in the activities of pleasing Krishna, there will be pleasure for the individual too. Kevala ananda kanda. Anandamoya bhyasad. Krishna is full of bliss, and he wants all of his associates to be blissful. Therefore, they're all, by nature, blissful, all of us. However, in our forgetful stage, we're not blissful. We're suffering. Why are we suffering? The solution is quite simple. We're suffering because we've forgotten Krishna. We've forgotten our best friend, our dearmost associate. It's like, why, if someone is hungry, but you see that he's got food right in front of him, you say, well, why are you feeling so much hunger? He said, because I'm not eating. Well, why don't you eat? It's right there. All he has to do is take the food, put it in the mouth, and the food and the body do the rest. Similarly, all we have to do to get free from our suffering condition is to change the account, change the consciousness. Just like, for example, we have to put the results in Krishna's account. Sometimes people ask that question. They say, well, how can I live in the material world? I'm working, I have a job, I have family. How can I serve Krishna? Well, just put everything in Krishna's account. Then you'll be in full Krishna consciousness. But it's not easy. That's what the devotees are trying to do in the temple, isn't it? Isn't that what a brahmachari gives everything? Okay, I give everything to Krishna. I give my body. Manasadeha geha jo kichimura apilu tuat pare nandikisho. I give everything to Krishna. That's why living in the temple is so advantageous. The whole consciousness is, I have nothing. Nirmama, nothing is mine. Everything is Krishna's. I work for Krishna from morning till evening, 24 hours a day. That's why living in the temple is such a great advantage. You can't compare it to any other thing. Going to the temple or going to the church on a Sunday once a week for a few hours, half-heartedly. How can that compare to every day rising, chanting, thinking of the Lord, when you go to bed thinking of the Lord, hearing about Him all day long, meditating on His form, worshiping, offering obeisances? This is the spiritual life. And a householder can do it too, but it's a challenge. It's more challenging because he may have the tendency of thinking I'm separate. This much for Krishna, this much for me. So as long as he thinks like that, then he's keeping a separate identity, and it's more difficult. But if he's just thinking, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, my family, my home, my body, everything is Krishna's. There's a nice, maybe some of you have seen that video, what was the name, Tukaram? Have you seen that Tukaram video? It's kind of interesting because Tukaram was a householder and everything, but he was just so devoted to Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna, that he gave everything to Vishnu. He'd give all his money. His wife would become upset with him. Why are you giving everything to Krishna? Why are you and taking care of the child? He'd say, well, let Krishna take care of the child. And in his job, sometimes his work, he was just depending on Krishna for everything. And some people thought he was mad, but Krishna always protected him and took care of everything. But he was actually self-realized. It's a fact, actually. It's an illusion to think that I'm maintaining my family. How can you maintain your family? What means do you have to maintain anything? What abilities do you have? If you're not maintained by the air supply or the water supply or the food supply of the earth, you can't even live yourself. How will you maintain anyone else? Therefore, the real householder or the advanced householder is one who's thinking, my job is to serve Krishna. And if I serve Krishna, then automatically my family will be maintained. Because that's just part of my service. Krishna has given me this particular service to perform, and I'm doing it for Him, not separate. And I can't actually do anything separate. So, this is the great advantage of living in a temple or near a temple, where one can always be engaged in serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna all the time. Manmana bhava mad bhakto mad jaji mam namaskuru mami vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyasame. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. That is, you could say, in 4 points, that's the 4-point program, the 4-step program for going back to Godhead. If you want to have, instead of reading books about 7 steps of highly materialistic people, they're highly entangled and they stay in the material world birth after birth, and they may become dogs in their next life even. So, highly successful in what? We have to consider who's speaking. But Krishna's speaking, and he's giving a 4-step program. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. And the result is you'll come back to the spiritual world. And the beginning is to understand we're not this body. At least theoretically, we have to understand we're not this body. And what does it mean to theoretically understand you're not the body? It means you don't act in ways that are designed to keep you in the bodily conception of life. Just like we have certain rules we follow, these guidelines. For example, no eating meat, fish, or eggs. Why? Because we're trying to get out of the bodily conception of life, and to do that, we're practicing bhakti yoga, and one of the principles of bhakti yoga is that one eats only prasadam, food that's offered to Krishna. And Krishna only eats vegetarian foodstuffs offered with love and devotion. Therefore, I have to eat that. I can't eat these other things. I could do it. It's not like that I don't have the choice. I do have the choice, but I've made that choice. I don't want to eat those things because I want to please Krishna. Everything that I do, I want to do for His pleasure. Whatever I eat, yat karoshi yad ashnasi yad jahosi tadasi yad tapasyasi konte tat karushma madhapana. Krishna says, everything that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Any questions?
Thank you, Warren. Is this Tugram Prabhu referring to Prabhu in Laguna Beach, or is this a Shastric Tugram?
Yeah, there's a real Tugram. That's Tukram Das you're referring to in Laguna Beach. So Tukram was a devotee. He was a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay.
And he was also caught up in the Sankirtan of chanting all the names. So that's who we're referring to.
I was interested in that story you're talking about, Vishnu. If you could tell me what story it was.
Tukram, the story of Tukram.
What was the story of Tukram?
Yeah.
She said that if you're hungry, then just eat. It's right there, and you'll feel satisfied. But sometimes we can experience that we're eating, or in other words, chanting and seeing the deity, but sometimes we feel a lack of satiation or a lack of like fulfillment. Why is that?
Well, you have to wait a few seconds for the second you put the food in your mouth. There is prana in the food. But it may take a few seconds or a few minutes for the food to be disseminated throughout your body. So if you eat the food, say, I put it in the mouth, you have to chew it, you have to put it down, then you have to digest it. Give a little time. So that's my point, that we've taken up the process for a very short period of time, and we may want the results quickly. But we may have to wait. We have to be a little patient. Go on chanting and try to improve our performance of the activities. But it has to be done in the beginning as a matter of duty. Sometimes when one has duties, Prabhupada gives the example that in the institution, in the ashram, the guru rings a bell or something like that to wake up the students, and they may not want to get up in the morning because it's so early. But they have to get up. Because they know that I'm doing this. If they had their choice, they'd probably rather just go and sleeping. But no, their higher sense is, I'm doing this out of duty because I want to get out of the sufferings of material life. I want to please Krishna. I want to please my spiritual master. I want to become a good devotee. So it's duty. But actually what happens is, by getting up, he actually gets a taste for serving Krishna. And gradually, you know, there's a whole progression. Adho shraddha tata sarusanga tato bhajana kriya tato narto navritti syat. There's a whole succession of 9 stages of advancing in devotional service based on faith. So, depending where we are, let's say you're an initiated disciple. So that means you're in the bhajana kriya. And you're working on anartha nivritti, giving up anarthas, but maybe you haven't given up all the anarthas yet. So that's where you are. You're in the third stage, 3.5, on the way up to 9. So you can't expect to get the enjoyments or the bliss of bhava or prema or asakti or ruchi until you get to that stage. But it's something to look forward to. So it should be encouraging. Well, here I am, struggling along in my bhajana kriya, having a challenge with that. So how can you expect to get the bliss of prema or bhava? Or that'll come, but you have to keep going. Your faith has to increase. And how do you increase your faith? By associating with devotees who have strong faith, especially the spiritual master. That's why we all are supposed to have spiritual masters, because then we've got an intimate relationship through service with someone who has incredible faith, who has full faith in Krishna. And by that, we'll also gain it. It's inherited from him. And so many other devotees, and then reading. By reading, for example, hearing, you're associating with other great personalities who have incredible faith, such as Shukadeva Goswami, Vyasadeva, Suta Goswami, Narayan Muni, Lord Brahma. When we hear, it's like here, who's speaking here? Lord Krishna. So we have Lord Krishna speaking with the best association. We're hearing from him. We're associating with Uddhava in the pages of the Bhagavatam. This is how to gain faith, isn't it? By hearing and by serving. The more you serve Krishna, the more you see, well, Krishna does solve the problems. Actually, there is. I am better off here than I was in the material world, isn't it? You have to also do some contemplation. Think about it. Am I better off what I'm doing now, or was I better off before?
No.
Better off now. And when you think about where I was heading, with the knowledge you have now, when you think about where you were heading in your activities before, you think, well, my future was really dark. I was on my way to, you know, hellish experiences, hellish suffering. I was eating meat or this or that, and I would have had to suffer. So I'm much better off. So even if it does, if you're not feeling the spontaneous bliss, you can understand where you're at, that you're in a better situation than you were before. It's also good to remember that and to contemplate that I'm better off than I was.
What if you're getting stuck, like, in anartha nivritti for, like, a long time? Is there a way to speed it up, or is there a way, or you have to completely depend upon Krishna's sanction in order to advance those different levels? Or?
Yeah, it Krishna consciousness is dependent upon Krishna's mercy, causeless mercy, and we can't force it.
Is there a way to attract Krishna's mercy?
Yes, we can attract it by service. He's attracted. He told the gopis that your service, you have surrendered so much to me and given so much love to you. There's no way I can repay you. You'll have to be satisfied with your own wonderful character. So that is the way to attract him, is by service, especially preaching attracts him. So if you want, sometimes when I travel and you know, people say, well, what happens if you're feeling a little down or something? I say, well, if you want some excitement, you want to feel happy, just take a pair of car calls, walk outside and start chanting. Walk up and down the street. You'll immediately you'll feel blissful. So there are ways, but we may not want to take the medicine, but that's our fault. That's our own, if the medicine is there and I won't take it, but the medicine is chanting in this age. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama Yogyo. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatya Nita. just chanting. If you're feeling sad, just chant Hare Krishna. And if you're feeling glad, chant Hare Krishna. In either state, chanting Hare Krishna is the process. Or hearing about Krishna. Or take prasadam. That's always enlightening. Take prasadam. And engage in service. See, that's the key. The spiritual master teaches us how to be engaged in devotional service all the time and not waste time. That's the art of devotional service. Because Maya is always saying, you need to take more rest, you need to, you know, you can't be a fanatic, you need to find out more about the material world and experience a bit more. You need to go for a tour to, you know, I don't know, Paris or something. And after you go to Paris for a while, then maybe you can take up devotional service. You'll have a more broad experience of the world. And not only Paris, and after you get to Paris. So Maya's always giving us these different, why are you restricting your enjoyment? Don't you think God wants you to be happy? But we don't remember that spiritual life gives a happy, Krishna consciousness gives a happiness that's trillions of times greater than the happiness that's obtained from material sense gratification. No comparison. But we may not be experiencing that yet, so we have to, you kind of have to drive. It's like when you're flying in an airplane, you say you're a pilot in a jet, and it's foggy, very heavy fog, you can't see. You can't rely on your senses. So from the control tower, they say, okay, now you have to go northwest, and you have to go down, and they give you directions. You can't say, well, it doesn't seem to be right to me. It doesn't feel right. You can't go by your feelings. You're in thick fog, so you have to have faith. So we have to put our faith somewhere. Either we put our faith in our mind or so many other leaders, or we put our faith in Krishna. And so we've made that choice that, yes, I trust Krishna more than everyone else who's telling me how to be happy. All the advertising, they say, if you drink this vodka, it's a big, in the city, there's supposed to be a lot of vodka advertising. I don't know why, they like Russian pleasure, sense gratification now. We're friends with Russia, so we can have vodka. So they're always saying, if you drink vodka, you'll be happy, you'll get a pleasure that, you know, just give. And Krishna's saying, no, give up all these things and just serve me, think of me, and you'll get pleasure. So who do you trust? The Russians or vodka? Or Krishna? It's a question of trust. Where do we put our faith? Who's going to give me the pleasure? Okay? Anything else? Thank you very much. Jai.